sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of your world. I'm your host, Diggy. This is episode number 69, titled Blackout. And as usual, I am going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. That's the part of the show where I answer questions from all of you. This week's question is from listener Mark. Mark says, where is your favourite place to eat out? I don't know if I have a favourite place, actually. Funnily enough, Mark, I usually, if we're going to eat out, we would probably order in, to be truthful, because it's often easier. Although, you know, the prices for delivery these days are just astronomical. So, yeah, we have been eating out a bit more often because, weirdly, it saves money. Yeah, that's crazy, right? It shouldn't be the case, should it? I think if I was to ever, like if someone was to say to me, where do you want to go to eat? I probably would always pick some sort of like pub place. I do like, well, essentially going and having a meal in a pub rather than places like Nando's and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, love Nando's. Absolutely think it's great. However, I just find there's more choice in places with a pub, like especially if there's a Carvery there as well. I realise Carvery isn't a lot of choice, but it's an additional choice, especially if you want to be quick. Sometimes the whole point is you just want to get in, eat and get out. So yeah, I think if I was to choose, I'd probably say a pub is the place I would like to go and eat out. If you want to ask your own question, like Mark did, all you need to do is go to thatsafreebie.com. And there, you'll be able to fill out the multi-purpose feedback form that allows you to answer, any questions. Maybe one day, who knows? It lets you ask a question, it lets you submit topics for podtails, and you can give general feedback as well. And I do think I might have discovered the problem with the feedback form. Long story short, just make sure you only go to thatsafreebie.com and you don't actually type in the HTTP bit. I'm using a redirect, and apparently my host doesn't like redirects. I'm working on it with them. They're trying to work out a solution for me. I guess time will tell on that one. But yeah, if you ever have any trouble loading that page, just delete the HTTP bit in your web browser and it should work. Quite a few things happened this week. The thing that I wanted to bring up first is Toby, the boy, he started this really annoying habit, and I'd love any advice that any of you have. Before he says anything, he will say, can I just say, or he'll say, just to say. So we could be in a silent room, nobody's talking, he's not interrupting anybody, and he'll go, can I just say something? And we'll go, yes, you can say something. And he'll say, can I get a drink? You're like, why did you not? Well, first of all, just go and get a drink. You don't have to ask to go and get a drink. But why did you ask if you could say it? Like, if you're worried about interrupting, you've already done it anyway. Doesn't really matter. It's fine. But yeah, it's a weird habit that we are trying to work on. But yeah, if any of you have come across this strange little problem, feel free to give me a holler and let me know what you've done to solve it. Because yeah, it's turning into a valley girl. I have noticed, actually, that this section of the podcast is actually just turning into a things I saw this week section. And something I saw this week was a parent completely forget that a child was with her at school. It was easily done. You know, this isn't a knock on the parents. I just thought it was funny. It's the kind of thing I've done. We're stood waiting to go into school in the morning. We were actually going into the breakfast club, so we were there early. Oh, actually, no, that's not true at all. I was collecting them. They weren't going in. I was collecting them from after school club. And we're stood waiting. Well, I'm stood waiting for them to come out. This lady comes out with a child. They're walking away. She starts talking to one of the other parents, and then the other child got completely distracted by a puddle and just stood there jumping up and down in the puddle. And the reason I noticed is they weren't wearing puddle attire. So I was like, oh no, they're getting soaked. The shoes were soaked, the socks were soaked, all up the legs. And they're just really going for it in this puddle. This kid was like reception age, you know, really, really, really young. So obviously wanted to play in puddles. And anyway, they finished the conversation, the two parents. She walks off And by this point, I turned away. I wasn't really paying attention. And then I just happened to turn around again and saw the kid jumping around in the puddle, and the parent wasn't there. And when I looked, I noticed she got all the way down to her car, and then she sort of, she unlocked the car. She turned around to pick the kid up and was like, oh, where's the kid? She had to come running back. And she's like, come on, I didn't even notice that you weren't behind me. But like, she hadn't even noticed like when she crossed the road, so the kid could have just been walking across the road doing anything. Again, we all get distracted. This isn't a knock on the parent. It was just quite funny. And I have got this week two bus stories for you. I had to get the bus again. It's becoming a common occurrence on a Sunday by the look of things, because the Metrolink seems to always be doing work at quite a major station on a Sunday, which means I have to get the bus. So it's just become normal now. I just get up and get the bus on a Sunday. I haven't even bothered checking. Just get it now. It's just easier. Only on a Sunday, though. It'd be a nightmare the rest of the time if I had to do it every single day. Yeah, a couple of things happened this week. The driver tried to leave without me. I get on at the very first stop. So I'm stood there at the first stop. I arrived a good 20 minutes early. I saw the bus pull into the depot. He got off. He goes to the toilet, because they always do when they pull up. He disappears, and his toilet trip took him a bit of a while. The bus was supposed to leave at 18 minutes past, and he got back at 8:30. And there was another bus due by this point. He got back at 8:30. So he comes running out, and you could tell he was all harried and in a rush. He'd probably just lost track of time or something like that. He gets on the bus, closes the doors, changes the signage on the front to say where it was going, and starts reversing. Just leaving the depot. So it was very clear that I was waiting for the bus, because there's a specified area where you stand. And I sort of run forward towards the bus, and somebody else came running from further on down the thing, who was sat on a bench, came running over, and we're going, whoa, 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 whoa. And he stops, opens the doors. He goes, what? Like, you've not let any passengers on. And he went, ugh, fine, get on. So we got on. He didn't even ask for payment. We just got on. And I mean, I'd already bought a ticket anyway via the app, but still. And then he sets off driving. So clearly he was late and was hoping to try and save a bit of time by not having to wait for all the passengers to get on. And then, well, he didn't do this, but it was a lot of his problem as well. But as we get closer into town, he lost all the time that he'd made up by this issue. But he basically, he let somebody on the bus. I wouldn't say an old lady, but I would say an older lady. So probably, I would say maybe just into bus pass age is probably how I would judge, just based off looks. You know, I have no additional knowledge, but she got up, she held a bus pass up at the window, and then went and stood in an area on the bus. There were plenty of seats, she chose to stand up, but she went and stood in, you know, where the disabled area is, where you can put a wheelchair and things like that. She went and stood there. So she stood there, and the bus driver's shouting something through the window, and none of us knew what he was shouting, obviously, and she wasn't paying any attention. So in the end, he gets up, gets out of his cab, walks up to her, and couldn't hear what he said. All I know is he was saying something to her. She got a pass out and showed him the pass again. And then all of a sudden, he just went, get off the f***ing bus. And that was when we all started paying attention. We're like, whoa. And he starts screaming at her, going, get off the bus, get off the bus. And she's trying to talk to him, and he's just going, get off the bus, get off the bus, constantly, over and over. And then she got really angry at him, and she went to punch him. She went to punch him. She raised a fist at him, and she sort of did that thing, you know, where you pretend to punch, and he goes, go on then, go on. Pulls his glasses off, and he starts pointing at his face, and he's going, hit me, go on, if it'll make you feel better, hit me. And then she started shouting, this is not how you deal with this situation, you are rude. And she just shouted that over and over again for like 10 minutes. And I'm not exaggerating there. It was a good 10 minutes. She's just like, you are rude. You do not deal with a situation like this. And he's going, get off the bus. And it went on for ages. He went and got back in the cabin, and he turned the engine off, and he sat there, and he said, well, I'm not driving until you get off the bus. And she said, well, I'm not getting off the bus because you're rude and you don't deal with a situation like this. Anyway, somebody got up and started talking to them both to try and mediate between them. And it turned out she'd got a young person's card, you know, like the iGo cards, and she was trying to pass it off as a bus pass, and it wasn't a bus pass. However, yeah, he could have dealt with that situation a lot better. We don't know what he was saying to her. He was obviously trying to explain it to her, and she wasn't having any of it. Or she was trying to play dumb. I don't know. But we sat there for 25 minutes, and in the end, he just closed the doors and drove on. So we're like, oh, well, she's won. I mean, it wasn't a case of either of them winning. They were both in the wrong, by the way they dealt with the situation, really. But the worst part, the absolute worst part is, she got off at the next stop. Like, it was, I swear, it was a 2-minute walk. It took us 30 seconds to drive to the next stop, and she got off at that stop. And it even looked like that's the stop she wanted. I think that's why she was being so stubborn about it. She didn't want to pay to go one stop. It was unbelievable, very annoying, very disruptive. I was lucky that I'd set off so early and I wasn't late, because usually I always set off early because I know things like this are going to happen, especially when you get the bus. Our topic for this week is the 1965 Northeastern Blackout. And the reason I picked this is it's actually coming up to the anniversary of it, or one of the anniversaries. There's obviously one every single year, November the 9th, and this episode will be out just before that. So I thought I'd visit it. I heard about it. I can't actually remember how I heard about it, but I heard about it, thought it was quite interesting, mostly because of, well, this opening bit here. This poor lad thought he'd caused a blackout. At dusk on November 9th, 1965, 11-year-old Jay Hounsell was walking down a road in Conway, New Hampshire. He was on his way for supper, swinging a stick in a playful mood. Jay whacked his stick against a telephone pole, and to his shock, the light on the pole went out instantly. He looked around and he saw lights going out all over town. Terrified, as I'm sure you would be, Jay ran all the way home. His mother recalled, his eyes were practically popping out of his head. He looked so guilty. I almost believed he did it, but I told him there is no way a stick could knock out the whole electrical system. This blackout wasn't just any blackout. It affected 8 northeast states: New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, and parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania. It also hit the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec. Only Maine and part of New Hampshire were spared. Over 30 million people across 80,000 square miles were plunged into darkness for up to 13 hours. It was the largest blackout ever recorded. Rush hour became a nightmare, traffic ground to a halt. In New York City, around 800,000 subway riders were stranded. Countless office workers were trapped in dark buildings. Trains stopped in their tracks, and planes circled airports before finding emergency runways. Some even landed at the naval base of Quonset, thanks to its emergency generators. Most television stations in the 6 hardest hit states went off air. The lack of information led to widespread panic. Some people feared a communist attack or even an alien invasion was behind the blackout. Yeah, it kind of makes sense really when you think about it, because if there's no way of communicating the information, people are going to make up all kinds of stories. I bet there were people saying they'd seen stuff, and oh man, it must have been insane. That poor boy though, he was convinced that he caused the blackout. Did he? Really? Let's have a look what really happened. The blackout of 1965 started with a protective relay at the Sir Adam Beck Hydroelectric Power Station No. 2 in Queenston, Ontario, near Niagara Falls. This safety relay was set to trip if other protective equipment failed, or on a cold November evening, the electrical system was nearly at peak capacity due to high power demands for heating, lighting and cooking. The transmission lines into southern Ontario were heavily loaded, misprogrammed. The safety relay tripped when it detected a load variation at 5:16 p.m. Eastern Time, causing a main power line to disconnect. This overload spread to other lines, which also tripped, isolating Beck Station in southern Ontario. With nowhere else to go, the excess load moved into New York, overlapping their lines and isolating the Niagara region from the grid. The Beck generators shut down automatically to prevent damage, while the Robert Moses Niagara Power Plant continued to supply power to Buffalo and Niagara Falls. Other nearby power plants were knocked offline. Within 5 minutes, the northeast power distribution system was in chaos, breaking the grid into islands. Stations shut down due to load imbalances. The affected areas included Ontario Hydro, St. Lawrence, Oswego, upstate New York, and New England. Southern states were not affected due to limited electrical connections. In New York City, WABC radio disc jockey Dan Ingram was on air when he noticed the music slowing down. The synchronous motors in the station's music playback equipment, dependent on the power line frequency, slowed as the frequency dropped from 60 Hz to just 51 Hz, just minutes before the blackout. Ingram joked that the electricity was slowing down, adding, "I did know that could happen," and by 5:25 p.m, as the news reports began, the station lost power. Some places within the blackout region stayed lit. Municipal utilities in Hartford, Connecticut, Braintree, Hudson, Holyoke, Peabody and Taunton, Massachusetts, and Fairport, Greenport and Walden. New York had their own power plants and sustained local loads. In New York City, Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn remained powered by the Arthur Kill Generating Station, while Rochdale, Queens, had its own plant. From the initial failure at 5:17 p.m. near Niagara, the blackout spread eastward. By 5:27 p.m, New York City plunged into darkness. However, some neighborhoods like Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn kept their lights on. Bergen County, New Jersey, served by PSE&G, also maintained power. A bright full moon lit up the cloudless sky, helping millions who were suddenly in darkness. Most telephones worked due to emergency generators, though some failed, like an upstate medical center in Syracuse, forcing surgeons to work by flashlight. Wow, that must have been scary. Power restoration varied. Parts of Brooklyn regained power by 11 p.m, but the entire city took until nearly 7 a.m. the next day. Wow. Western New York restored power quickly, thanks to the Genesee River-powered plant in Rochester. This plant's hydroelectric power restarted dead generators in a cascading process crucial for returning power. The Mount Weather Emergency Operations Center saw its first full-scale activation during the blackout. The New York Times used the Newark Evening News' printing presses to produce a 10-page edition for November 10th, featuring a photograph of the dark city skyline. The task force investigating the blackout found a lack of voltage and current monitoring as a contributing factor, recommending improvements. This led to the development of a modern SCADA systems by the Electric Power Research Institute. Unlike the looting during the 1977 blackout, the 1965 event saw only 5 reports of looting in New York City. It was one of the lowest crime rates in the city's recorded history, despite 800,000 riders being trapped in the subway. Reports of a baby boom 9 months later are unsubstantiated. R&B group The Ad-Libs released a single about the blackout, "New York in the Dark," highlighting the community's resilience during the power outage. So there you have it, the 1965 blackout. I thought it was quite interesting. I feel really bad for that kid that thought he caused it all, but I'm sure he, by this point, has realised that that wasn't true. For the pick of the week this week, I have another podcast from the Twit Network. And this is the one that started it all. This is the podcast This Week in Tech, which is what Twit stands for on the network. It is a weekly show, usually recorded on a Sunday. So for us in the UK, it's available first thing Monday morning. You can listen live as well. It's a decent show. It is one of the ones where if I've got a heavy week, because some of the podcasts I listen to are only produced every couple of weeks or every like 3 or 4 weeks. And so some weeks I do have a lot more to listen to than others. It is one of the ones that I will drop if necessary, because all of the information in it generally I will get from other podcasts throughout the week. But it is a good listen. It's good for if you just want a general overview of everything that's happening in the tech world, not specific, like specific companies, I suppose. It's worth having a listen to. It is, unfortunately, though, as with a lot of the podcasts, very long. And that's fine. That's the whole idea of the network. It's long form shows where we have deep discussions about things. So there's no issue with that. It just takes up a lot of your time if you haven't got a lot of time, really. Like it takes a few commutes for me to listen to the whole thing, although I do tend to be always listening to something, so not really a big issue for me. And I thought I'd end with just a quick story from something that happened a couple of years ago now. Me and my wife were on a road trip, quite a big road trip. We went to see some family. When we got there, my uncle asked if we took turns, you know, driving on the way up, and I said, well, yeah, obviously we did. It'd be really hard to get here if we drove in a straight line.